Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your word, for the life that you've given to us, the wonderful privilege. Lord, we have searched high and low, up the mountain, down the valley, through the oceans, and we couldn't find anyone like you. You are altogether God, God all by yourself, a God without beginning and no ending. You are just the I am. You started time. You started and put all of this together. The self-existing God. We give you praise. We give you praise that because you are the self-existing God, you share yourself with us and you cause us to live forever. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the spirit that we have, that it's eternal, for our souls, for our bodies. Thank you, Lord, O God, that daily our youth is being renewed and sanctification is taking place. Redemptive works of grace are happening in us and through us. And we who were once lost are now found to be in the beloved. Blessed be your holy name. We pray, O God, for the situation that's happening in the Main Street, Inkster area. Lord, whatever that is, oh God, we ask, oh God, for your protection. Lord, oh God, that lives are spared and Lord, oh God, that we do not receive bad news from whatever it is that's going on right now. Keep the people safe. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This morning, we began sharing about the Word of God, the supremacy of the Word of God, and how it is that we, as God's people, can keep the Word of God alive in ourselves, how we must put preeminence, the highest priority to the Word of God, that the way that we define our lives must not be based on how the world is defining itself. The world is fluid, everything in the world. There is nothing in the world that's not been shaken right now. And the Word of God tells us that before the Lord returns, everything that will be shaken will be shaken. The only thing that's going to stand the test is the Word of God. That's the only thing that will keep you and I secure. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a very important parable, not a parable in a sense, a spiritual truth that was driven out or upon by these statements. He said, I will liken a wise man to a man who came, heard my words, and did it. So that's a wise man. He came, heard my words, and did it. And he said about the foolish man, he said the foolish man came and heard his words, but did not do it. The difference was not in the wise man or the foolish man not coming. The boat came. The difference was not in the hearing, for the boat heard. The difference was in the doing. The doing. The wise man did, the foolish man did not. And he said about the wise man that did, that that man built his house on a solid rock, on a solid foundation. The one that did not do, built his house on sand. He said the same situation, circumstance, faced both men. The storm of life came upon both houses. The rain poured on both houses. The wind blew on both houses. The tornado came upon both houses. But the one whose house was built on the rock withstood the storm. The other one went to La La Land. The difference is not in just hearing the word of God. It is in the obedient doing of the word of God. And one of the things that the false teaching that is being broadcasted around the world is doing is that it is removing the doing aspect out of the life of the believer. And saying things like, we are not human doings, we are human beings. Sounds very good. But if you ask the Lord, he will tell you, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You do my will. This morning, we talked about the first and foremost about the importance of meditating on the Word of God. And we're going to continue on that. But I don't want us to lose sight of this, that the Word of God that we meditate on is going to impact how we speak. And we talked about that this morning. And how you speak creates your world. It creates the atmosphere. It generates the force field around you. What you say. If you speak death, you receive death. If you speak life, you receive life. If you are so-so, whatever will be, will be, you get exactly that. You'll be a yo-yo in the devil's pawn yard. So, you've got to make a decision as a believer. What do I believe? It is not just about believing, because the Bible tells us that the devil, even the devil, believes there is a God. And he trembles at the fact, but he does not do the will of God. And so, when you are a person who hears the word of God, but you are not a doer of the word of God, you are a child of the devil. You have the same spirit. It may be hard for us to understand or accept, but that's the truth. Now, we may not be able to do all the things that we need to do right away. The word of God tells us that there's progressive growth. My little grandson, the youngest grandson, was perfect the day he was born. But there were so many things about him that were not perfect as it related to me. He could not feed himself. But that was perfect for his age. He could not crawl, but that was perfect for his age. He had to be carried everywhere, bathed, and all of that, but that was perfect at his age. But then came the time that he had to learn how to crawl. Crawling is not what I do, but crawling is what he did, and that was perfect. Are you with me so far? And he was growing. Then he started standing up and said, the guy didn't want to walk slow. He got up and he started running. And so because he was running, he was falling all the time. And he got up and he started running. And he would go, I say, oh, look at this kid. Slow down, slow down, slow down. You will get there. Okay. So he had a handle of that. Now he can walk and he can run, but he's not doing this anymore. He's more balanced. He's going through the stages, but he still has his diapers. But he can now feed himself. Stage. But every stage is perfect. And when they go to the doctors, they will say things like, he is this percentage of his age. He's at this percentage, 95 percentile, whatever. When I was raising my children, we didn't have any 90-something percentile. Well, that's where it is at now. Everything is percentage. You know, based on the percentages of all the children at this age, this is your weight is at this rate. So they use that to measure, to find out whether the child is growing the way he should. And if he's lower than a certain level, they're concerned now, and they'll try to address that particular situation. This child should be able to do this at this stage in his life. It's progress. Not perfect based on me, but perfect based on him. Are you with me? Now, ultimately, where God wants you and I to be is to be perfect as he is perfect. Holy as he is holy. Walking in faith as he does. Obeying the principles that he has placed as he does. Because even God holds himself to certain principles. That's why God cannot lie. Because if God lies, he has failed. So whatever God says must be exactly how God said it. That's his perfect will. In the universe of space and time, there is a perfect will of God. Now, the interesting thing about it is this. That because God created us and is a God of love, he also gave us a will. Because love cannot really be demonstrated without the ability to choose. Which means then that in that state of choice, there are many universes in the one universe of options, of things that can happen. Are you with me so far? Let's restrict the options to maybe three or four, just for our own benefit. There is a good, acceptable, and perfect will. There is a permissive will. Permissive will is something that's not really good, acceptable, or perfect, but I'll let that be. And outside those spectrums are all kinds of others, from extremely terrible to terrible to awful. Amazingly, foolishly awful, and so on and so forth. Are you with me so far? And God covers all of that. He covers all of that because he gave you the ability to make a choice. Now, God's eyes, while he covers every spectrum available, is primarily focused on one particular aspect. And that's the aspect where God says his eyes are on the righteous. Who is the righteous? The righteous man is a man who has received the gift of righteousness, which means that he has the ability to stand, not in the presence of sinners, but in the presence of God. How do we get to stand in the presence of God? By receiving what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. He sanctified us unto himself. We are connected to the Word of God and in agreement with the Word of God. We are not resisting the Word of God through unbelief. And therefore, we are in the rest of God. Amen? Now, God, in taking the people of Israel out of Egypt, had a promised land for them. He told them where the promised land is. He'd already secured it. They were at the edge of that promised land. But their unbelief shut them down, and they could not enter into that rest of God. And so for 40 years, everyone that stayed in that regime died, except for two, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua had gone into that promised land and came back and acknowledged that the issues that everybody else saw of the 12 of them that went into that promised land, that those issues were real. In essence, faith is not a denial of the reality. Yes, there are giants in that land. But what they did was they added something else. And that's a land that eats up the people. You cannot have both. A land that eats up the inhabitants, and there are giants in that land. And yes, the land is good. Everything that they said was true, but their unbelief caused them to begin to declare that that land, which was good, was not for them, one. Two, that they were grasshoppers compared to those special people over there. And they said it right. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and so did they see us. They see us? Who saw you? Nobody saw you. You snuck in there and snuck out. Now you're already projecting into those people what they have not even thought. And that's how many times we live our lives, projecting our inadequacies into the belief system of other people, and they begin to see us the way we see ourselves, belittled. Are we on the same page still? What is the antidote to that? The antidote is the Word of God, because the Word of God gives you the true sense of personhood that you should embrace. If I look at myself, I see myself and I compare myself with everybody else. But when I see myself in God, there is nobody else to compare with. Because God is not small, big, little, or large. God is just God. Any size that He is, I am in Him. Do we understand? So when we are busy comparing ourselves with each other, I've got six packs. Or some people say they have eight packs now. I don't know. For some of us, we have a barrel, and the six pack is well hidden. That's the way it is. In some places, that means wealth. And all the six-pack people, you know, do you see rich people running around all over the place, pushing all kinds of, well, in the West maybe, but where I come from, rich people don't do that. They sit down and feed themselves well with a nice, good barrel. Hallelujah. It's a culture. But the reality is this, child of God. If you define yourself based on the natural world, you will be confused. There is no ifs or buts about it. And so we need to embrace the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to every aspect of our lives. In Psalm 119, verse 101, Psalm 119, verse 101, we read these words. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. That's a fundamental key. God is saying to us, if you're going to keep my word, if you're going to meditate on my word and allow my words to fashion and mold and make your life, then you've got to refrain your feet from every evil way. Because as long as you are pursuing evil ways, you will not concentrate on my word. And you will not be able to keep it. That is the reality, saints. It doesn't matter how much focus you think you are. If you begin to embrace evil ideas, whether it be from the news or from listening to other people, you will not be able to keep the word of God. It's just the way it is. The word of God is very clear about that. Psalm 119 and verse 133 makes this very clear statement. He says, order my steps in thy word. What word? The word that you're meditating on. Because you're not going to be able to you're not going to be able to follow the footsteps of God if you're not following the word that you have put inside of your spirit. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Iniquity is the evil pattern. He says it's going to have dominion over you and I if our steps are not ordered in the word of God. What is having my steps ordered by the word of God? It is my steps being guided by my act of obedience. God makes an order, gives a command, and I follow through with it. That's how your steps have been ordered. And that way, iniquity will not have dominion over you. Listen, this is the reality. You don't want to position yourself in the wrong place, because sin, once you get to it, has a very strong force field that will pull you down. It will pull you down. I don't care how big or tough you are. You never give room to the devil, because if you give room to the devil, temptation is a very powerful force that will draw you. You don't go around saying, "Oh, I can handle anything. I can handle anything. It doesn't matter what it is. I will not be tempted." Child of God, don't get started. You don't know what you will do. So don't get started. Because once you start, you open that door, you're messed up. You don't go, "Well, I will never be hooked on crack cocaine." Really? You're different. Don't get started. "I will never be a drunk and end up in Skid Row." Don't get started. Don't start. Because once you start, you don't know where that road is going to lead. And iniquity may just have dominion over you. Don't get started. You don't go, you know, looking at pornography and say, "I will never be hooked." That's how a whole bunch of men, and not only men, women, even in the church, are hooked on pornography. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. They're hooked up on pornography. And before you know it, you're living in a world of lust. You lust after everybody, anything that moves in front of you, you're lusting after it. Because you got started. You don't go there. What you need is the Word of God. You allow the Word of God to order your steps and tell you what to do and what not to do. It is not society that determines what morality is. God does. God. You cannot legislate morality. Any government that thinks they're going to determine what morality is, they're acting in foolishness. You cannot determine any of that. God states what is moral and what is immoral, but He gives you the free will to make your decision. This is wrong. Don't do that. I present you life and death. I tell you what you should choose. Choose life. Because you choose death, your goose is cooked. Psalm 119 and verse 11 makes a very interesting statement. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not do what? Sin against thee." Your word, have hidden it in my heart. I've embraced it. I'm keeping this word. Why? That I might not sin. Wow. Wow. Let's look at Psalm 95. This is why the writer of the book of Psalms, the primary writer of the books of Psalms, is a man after the heart of God. Psalm 95, verse 10. You see, David understands. Because at the time when kings were to be at war, he was at home. Wrong place for him. Why is he at home? Because he listened to the conversations of his generals and said, you're getting old, you know, stay home. We'll take care of stuff. And the devil was in the details. He cannot sleep. He wakes up, and there is Bathsheba over there. And the rest is history. In Psalm 95, verse 10, the Word of God says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. Bible tells us a generation of vipers. And said, it is a people that do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. They err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Why? The word was not in them. He says, unto whom I swore in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. God swore, you will not enter into my rest. God wants us to come into His rest, where we rest from all of our labors, rest from all the stuff that we're trying to do. We just relax. How does that happen? When we feed ourselves with the Word of God. Let me put it this way to you. When we allow the Word of God to carry us, it's like a truck, I don't know, a flatbed truck that is carrying a brand new vehicle from Winnipeg to Thompson. Let's say that's about 700 kilometers from here. When the vehicle left the shop, it was at 0 kilometers. It is put on the flatbed, and the flatbed carries that particular vehicle, Mercedes-Benz, a Bentley, whatever it is, carries it all the way from Winnipeg, 700 plus kilometers, to Thompson. When that vehicle gets to Thompson, how many kilometers will be on the odometer? Zero. Is it still in Winnipeg? No, it's in Thompson. But Thompson is 700 kilometers away. Why is it still at zero? Because it's at its rest. That's what grace is. You are not doing the work, but whoever it is that is carrying you is doing all the work. It is the word of God that carries us and helps us to fulfill the mandate of God. God's word. Before I became a believer in the word of God, it was a struggle to live right. I could not help myself. But when I got the word of God inside of me, living right became easier. Because now I'm not struggling. He's doing all the work, and I'm doing all the rest. Amen? That's what the word of God does for us. Unfortunately, the devil wants to make sure that you don't get to the word. And if you get to the word, if you do get to the word, he wants to make sure that you don't obey the word because you believe it is impossible to do. Not for God, if you're dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 51 and verse 6. And then we're going to begin to wrap this up. Psalm 51 and verse 6. He says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God desires truth in the inward parts. How is this truth established? By meditating on the word of God. If you are not here this morning, I encourage you strongly to get the message from this morning, because this part two, I'm just basically adding to the things I talked about this morning. I laid the foundation this morning and began to move us in a particular direction. So get it. It says, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In the hidden part, where the word of God is established, thy word have I hidden in my heart. That's where you're going to make me know wisdom. That's where you're going to cause me to know truly the fear of God. The Bible says, the fear of God is the what? The beginning of wisdom. God makes me to know wisdom. How? Because he desires truth in my inward parts, in my heart. Praise God. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 8. God is speaking to Joshua. And he says, this book of the law, the word, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Keep on saying it. Don't ever stop. But thou shalt meditate therein. You meditate in this word day and night. Day and night, 24/7. That thou mayest observe to do. That thou mayest observe to do, that thou mayest observe to do. Now that word observe has a dual meaning. To observe means to look at something, but to observe means to do something. So I observe the Sabbath means that I do the Sabbath. I observe Sunday. How do you observe it? I go to church. Okay. I observe a date night. Oh, That means you do a date night. Are we together so far? Okay? So that word has a dual meaning. Observe means to set apart something and to do it. He says, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. For then, when this word of God is in you, you're meditating on the word of God, you're observing, you're doing the word of God. He says, for then shall thou make thy way. You will make your way prosperous, and then thou shall have good success. Thou shall have what? Good success. Based on what? The meditating on the word of God and the doing of the word of God. Now, the covenant of promise that God has given, that this word of God is generating, the covenant of God is an eternal covenant. In the doing of the word of God, we do understand also that we cannot in ourselves keep all the laws. Nobody can. And if you try to live your life based on the keeping of laws, the word of God says if you blow one, you've blown all of it. So what are we talking about here? The doing of the word is the word doing itself in you and through you. It is not about me trying to keep a bunch of laws. Let me put it this way to you. You're driving on the highway. Has this ever happened to you? You're driving on the highway. You're thinking about all kinds of stuff. And you are keeping all the laws. You get to a stop sign, you stop. You pick up and you continue, and you've driven about 5 or 10 miles, and you come to your right mind, so to speak, and then you say, "Huh? How did I get here? Anybody tell me the truth? If it has ever happened to you, wave at me." Okay. Something is driving and helping you go through all of that process. Physically, your mind is seemingly not there, but it is there. The same thing happens to you and I spiritually, that you are keeping all the laws and doing all the stuff, but it's not because you are trying. You're not trying not to not drink. You're not trying not to not lie. You're not trying to keep this law and keep that law. You're just living life, and it is normal to you. You see, this is where many times we miss it. We think that we don't lie because we tried not to lie. No, you're not lying because it is not part of the equation. You cannot see yourself doing that. You are focused on the goodness of God. You're living life to be a blessing, and lying is not part of it. It's not a temptation. It doesn't matter, you know. I don't have a desire to go do drugs. So I'm not. It doesn't matter whether there's 20 kilos over here or 50 kilos over there. It doesn't matter. It's not my thing. Now, if money is my thing, I might not do it. I might sell it. You understand what I'm talking about? That's why in the first place you don't expose yourself to stuff, because you don't know what you will do. You think you know. You don't. So don't go there. Let the word of God begin to direct your steps. direct you daily, and now the decisions you make are based on the integrity of the Word of God. And therefore, that word causes you to become prosperous and successful. Embracing the Word of God. God, it is in you that I live, move, and have my being. But who is this one? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Yeah? The Word of God. It must be important to you. It must be important to me. I must find out, what does the Word of God say? Maybe this year, do something like this and ask yourself, what does the Word of God say about worship? And you go through and you're studying about worship. Find any information about worship. Any information about praise, any information about lifting hands, clapping your hands, you know, and you just look, and guess what is going to happen? You're going to end up becoming a worshiper, not because you're trying, but because you're so full of it that's what you just do. You just do that. Or what does the Word of God say about giving? And just keep on studying and studying about it. And before you know it, it is not a difficult thing anymore. You just give. It's part of your psyche. It's part of you. The Word of God is fine-tuning you day in, day out. And let me wrap it up by making this next statement. Every time the Word of God is established in you, you go through a trying process that causes you to show that you believe that thing and you act out in obedience to it. It is not a temptation, it is a fine tuning. There's a guitar here. I don't remember all the strings and what they stand for now, but first one should be an A or whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, forget about that. The strings get tuned. You fine-tune it by the amount of pressure that you put on the string. And it rings at a particular frequency. And so you have a G, you have an A, you have a B, a C, based on where your fingers are, and it gives you the right note. If it's not tuned properly, you can have a flat, or you can have a sharp, depending on the pressure. And so the guitar can be said to be out of tune. Huh? Out of tune. When the Word of God is established inside of you, when God puts the Word of God inside of you, He begins to fine-tune it. He begins to put pressure on it until it is at the right tense point. And you fine choose another set of words that is put inside of you, and another set, and another set, and another set, and then when it strikes, whatever note he's wanting to get, that's what he gets. It sounds right. Moisture, all kinds of things can affect that string, and now and then he finds tunes. It's not tempting you, it's just fine-tuning you. May God fine-tune every single one of us for His glory, so that every time he wants to create a sound, it is not flat, it's right on. If he wants to play a G flat, it will be intentional. Every sound that he wants to produce through your life will be an intentional, not accidental, intentional sound. That's why we come to church. That's why we worship. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. That's why we seek the face of God, so that we can be a good instrument producing the right sound for his glory. That guitar doesn't only have strings. It has a box. If that box is not properly shaped, it will give wrong notes, sounds. So that box has to be designed properly, hollowed properly, so that the vibration coming out produces the right sound. That's all God wants to do. And he does all of that through his word. Through his word. The sound that he wants me to make may be different from the sound he wants you to make. But whatever that sound is, it's got to be a true sound. And the way you get that true sound is by getting the word of God inside of you. Embracing it, believing it, trusting that God loves you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants you blessed and to be a blessing. Amen? That's the word the Lord has laid on my heart for us today. And with that, let us rise before him. I bless you, those listening online. I release you at this time. May God's grace abound towards you. I pray that the favor of God surrounds you and keeps you strong all of your days. And we'll look forward to ministering to you again this Wednesday at the Bible study time. And of course, on Friday, we meet again for a wonderful time in intercession to the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord.